We look to the Word of God this morning at Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, do turn there. Luke chapter 8. We'll be reading verse 4 through 21 today. But we ask first for the Lord to bless His Word, not only in the reading, but even the preaching and especially the hearing of His Word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come now turning in our Bibles to this passage that will be read, and from which you will bring forth your word by your Spirit to us. Lord, it's no routine exercise that we do, really, but this is the word of life as our Lord has taught us. This is a means of grace and help to us, and we pray for your Holy Spirit's blessing on it, that we would have ears to hear, that we would receive it for what it is, the Word of God, able to do its work in those who believe. And Lord, should there be some without faith, that you would give it today, that you would strengthen it in those who do believe, and that, Lord, today might be the beginning of a more bountiful harvest for life that is lived to the glory of Christ, minds enlarged with understanding of the Word of God, souls strengthened and brought away from sin and unbelief and further helped by strength and readiness to go on in your ways. We thank you that you speak to us in each Lord's day through your word and every time we open it. And we pray that you'd make for us to truly receive what you will bring us. And Lord, help us. We thank you that we have you as our great portion and inheritance. We pray that you would meet with us and show us your blessing as we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. This is God's word. When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he, that is Jesus, spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." And thus far is the reading of God's word to us today. Hearing is an important part of life. Without hearing, we hardly learn a spoken language. We cannot speak as we might. Without hearing, we learn more slowly and with much more difficulty. Without hearing, as Helen Keller herself noted, we lose touch with people. Without hearing, we're more prone to danger. Hearing is an important part of life. It's that way with spiritual things. And thus Jesus often, as he says again in our passage, said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And should a person not have such ears, Jesus can open them. Should a person be cut off, our Lord in one occasion restored them. Hearing is an important part of life. But there's something that goes with hearing, and that's heeding. The one uses the ears, but the other uses the hands or the feet, the eyes or the mouth, or so forth. Hearing is about taking in. Heeding is about bringing out. To hear is to learn. To heed is to live or to do. And both of these, hearing and heeding, are the aim of yet another parable that our Lord puts before us in this passage today. A parable, we could say, is an earthly story with a heavenly lesson. That's a parable. It's an earthly story, and yet it has a spiritual or a heavenly point to it. By a parable, we don't mean a riddle. We don't mean a fable or a simile or metaphor. We don't mean a proverb or an allegory. We mean an earthly story with a heavenly spiritual lesson that sets forth a main lesson. A parable could have actually happened. It's in itself believable. We can imagine a sower going out into his field to sow the seed. And sometimes a parable needs to be explained, as is certainly the case in this parable. When it comes to this parable, maybe you know it commonly as the parable of the sower. I think a better way to title this would be the parable of the soils. Because Jesus doesn't say anything really about the sower. It could be himself. It could be the preachers that he sent forth. But he gives a lot of description about the soils. That seems to be the emphasis. In fact, Mark tells us that this parable is the key to all the parables. In Mark 4, verse 13, Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" It's a key that unlocks understanding the other parables. And there are four aspects of this parable that we're going and need to look at today. The first one is, why was the parable told? The second one is, what is the parable's point? The third one is, what is the parable's meaning? And lastly, how is the parable applied? The first one, why was the parable told? Why would Jesus tell a parable in a parable such as this? Well, the general answer to that question is because it fulfills Psalm 78, where God would speak in parables. God would communicate and unveil and reveal things that are mysterious, things that were secrets, things that were not unveiled beforehand. And so parables often did that. Mark notes that with many such parables, Jesus was speaking the word to the people so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his disciples. God was communicating things about the kingdom of God and the mystery that had been secretly hidden from ages past, but now had been revealed through the giving of his Son. The specific answer to why this parable was told is because it was, brace yourself, to harden the hard. It was to harden the hard on the one hand, but on the other hand, it was to enlighten the enlightened. It was to make things close to some people, even as it was to open it up to others. You notice that at verse 4, there's a large crowd that's coming. And when it happens with large crowds, you don't quite know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going on necessarily. You don't know why the people are there. What are the motives in all these people's hearts? Some sincere motives, some not so good motives. And so all these people are following the Lord Jesus. And as we've seen before, there's a division that our Lord Jesus makes. He preaches and some believe. He preaches and others will not endure the truth. And so because of this crowd, and yet because Isaiah chapter 6 prophesied that hearing as God's judgment on those who would not believe, things get hard. He, in fact, hardens them. They have ears to hear, but God makes it so that they won't hear. They won't give themselves to the truth of the gospel. They will resist. They will reject it. And for them, there's nothing more but more hardness. If you were to go over to Isaiah chapter 6, you'd see a very striking prophecy that seems to have to do especially with the generation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, as Isaiah is commissioned to preach the gospel, God says to him, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. And then Isaiah said, Lord, how long? And he said, until cities are devastated. Here is God judging the hard, the rebellious, those who will not be taught of God, those who will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the parable was told specifically so that the fulfillment of this would come about. There would be a hardness to some people. Not merely because of their hardness, but even further, so that they would be hardened fuller. Otherwise, they might turn and hear and repent. The point is judgment on unbelief. They may have outward and physical things, but they won't have inward and spiritual things. As Calvin said, they must endure the blame for their own blindness and hardness. As another says, if God blesses those who accept the mysterious, what then will he do to curse those who reject the obvious? He hardens them. And so there's great warning. He is separating the sincere seeker from the casual hearer. But on the other hand, as Jesus said to the disciples, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And thus, as any pastor who's earnest for his people to understand would say to the effect, let me illustrate. Let me tell a little story so that you better grasp it. Jesus spoke in parables. He broke down by parables the point. He made it so that his disciples could better understand, to make sense of what it was they were believing, who it was that was leading them. It was to help them more carefully know themselves and the truth about their faith and the hope and the end of it. The simple duties they were to be about. And so always hearing His word, they would then always be more ready to be heeding His word. And thus the parables were told. So generally it was to fulfill the promises of the word of God. Specifically, it was to harden the unbelieving and to strengthen the faith of those who believed. You like stories. I notice it whenever I say some sort of story or break off from teaching and begin to give an illustration, I get more attention. Eyes look at me, heads lift up a little bit. That's why Jesus told parables. But there's a second question that we have to ask, and it is, what is the parable's point? You notice that throughout the parable, Jesus is emphasizing one word time and again. I wonder if you children can find which word it is that Jesus says quite often. Well, let's go ahead at verse 8. What do you hear Him say? But he who has ears to hear, let him what? Hear. Then again, verse 10. What does Jesus say? But hearing, that they may not understand. Again, verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns are those ones who have heard. And again, verse 15, the good soil, these are those who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Jesus is emphasizing hearing. But it goes further at verse 18. So take care how you listen. Verse 21, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. The point of the parable is so that you would give yourself to a better hearing of the word of God. That you would be careful to put your energy into constructive hearing. You notice that's the summary, really. Of each section at verse 8, hearing is commanded to the people. If you have ears to hear, hear. We often use that kind of expression. Don't you have ears? We say that so the people will use them and listen. And Jesus is saying, if you have ears to hear, use them. Hear. It's then at verse 18 where Jesus, having at verse 8 commanded people, he here cautions people. Take care how you hear. And verse 21, that section is ended there. It seems that Luke has placed this little instance of his family coming to get his attention here to seal off the whole parable that Jesus has told. It's to be confirmed that those who hear and do the word of God, they grasp the parable. They've gotten his teaching. He could have pointed to many things. Right? That would show someone as a true member of his family. He could have said they must be born of the Spirit of God. He might have said they have to have adopting grace applied to them. But no, he said something very straightforward. My brothers and my mother are those who hear the word of God and do it. And that's the point of the parable. It's not only that you and I would listen passively routinely to sermons, or listen on the internet, or hear others talk about the things of the gospel. It's not just about hearing. It's hearing and heeding. It's taking in the word of God, making it useful, turning the soil, and bringing something forth. Hearing and heeding. It's not learning the word alone, it's living the word as well. All of this is yet another way in which Luke chapter 6, verse 46, with that parable, is set forth. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them. That's the point. And Jesus has made that point once again when it comes to the parable of the soils. We ask ourselves the question necessarily, do I hear the word of God? Oh, I stand and I sit and I listen to the word of God. But do I hear it? Do I hear the word of God? Have I heard it for what it is? It's not merely advice of a preacher. It's not literally words of my minister. But it's the word of God that's being preached. When I come and attend on the sermon, am I meeting with God? Do I sense really that I'm sitting before God in His presence and God is speaking to me? Do I hear? Am I a casual listener? A routine listener? Or am I a careful listener? A ready listener to bring forth what I hear in what I will heed? That's the point of the parable. We have to ask ourselves at the outset, do I hear? Jesus told the parable so that I would hear. Do I hear? But it leads us into the third and really the center of the parable. What is the parable's meaning? What does it all mean? The disciples, verse 9, began questioning him as to what this parable meant. We come not only to parables asking this question ourselves, we come to the scripture generally. And we say, Lord Jesus, what does this mean? That's the sign of a hearer. That shows that you're hearing when you come and you ask about it. You want to talk about it. And you go to Jesus to learn about it. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. Jesus wants to explain the meaning of the parable. He assigned, as you notice, a significance to many of the details of the parable, which isn't usual to all parables. Of course, the seed, verse 11, is the word of God. The soil in the parable where the seed is sown are the hearts of listeners, verse 12 through 15. We know that the birds signify the devil, possibly angels sent from him. The thorns, he tells us at verse 7 or 14, are the worries and the riches and the pleasures of life that come and choke out the effect of the word. In each section of the parable, you notice that there's a place for the seed, an action upon the seed, and then there's a result upon the seed. The road path receives the seed. The birds remove the seed. The seed never gets beneath the surface. It dies. The rocky soil receives the seed. The lack of moisture there prevents the seed. And what happens? The seed withers. The third one, the thorny patch, receives the seed. The thorns overshadow the seed. The seed eventually is choked. There's always a place. There's always an action. There's always a result. And finally, the good soil receives the seed. The elements nourish the seed. And voila, the seed germinates as it should. That's how it's laid out. But going further, we still ask, what does this parable mean? Well, one thing it means is that there's only two kinds of people. There are only two kinds of people. There are good soil and there are bad soil. Or said yet another way, there are four kinds of hearts among all these. Three of them are described as the bad soil, one of which is described as the good soil. And that's what Jesus is pressing. He means for us to conclude, what kind of listener am I? Which one am I? What kind of hearer am I? What kind of heart do I have? How do I examine myself before Jesus' teaching? Well, we have to look at these as Jesus explained the meaning. The first one is the roadside, or we might call it the hard heart. Verse 5 and 12. In other words, it seems to be the path It kind of goes through the sower's field or the farmer's field. Everybody takes that path. It's well trodden. It's hard, compact. The seed hits it. It stays right there on the top. No rain really pushes it in. It's too hard. And so what happens? But the bird or the raven comes down, takes the seed, and away it goes. There's no chance for that seed to grow. Won't sprout. Why is this? Well, it notes the two factors there. The one is the hard heart. And like the path, there are people that sit before the preaching of the Word of God, and their hearts are hard. They're unbelieving. As Jesus said, they're unsaved. They resist the Word. They have excuses as to why what's being said from the Scripture is not true. It could be about some doctrinal issue. It could be about some particular way that it bears on their own heart and life. But they're resistant. They're resistant. They make excuses. They will give excuses as to why they shouldn't believe, why they cannot believe, and why they won't believe. It's a hard heart. It shows the condition of the heart as sort of scoliosic or hard, callous. We use that term in medical ways. A hardening. But there's not only the condition within the person. As bad as that is, there's also outer things like the bird that comes and immediately devours it. The devil who comes and snatches the word from people's hearts. There are people that listen to the preaching and preaching, they hear it, they participate in some way, and yet they go and they forget it. And it doesn't mean anything to them. It's not gone into their ears. It's not gone into their heart, really. And so they never respond to it. They never talk about it. They never ask about it. They never pray about it. They never heed it. That's the roadside. That's the hard heart. Is your heart a hard heart? I hope it's not. Jesus says, take care how you listen. The second one is the rocky soil. We might call it the shallow heart, verse 6 and 13. It's otherwise good soil on the top, but underneath there's hardness. There's some barrier that is not allowing roots to go down. There's no moisture. There's no heat in the soil because the soil has hard rockiness beneath it. You can maybe liken it to covering your driveway with 6 inches of rich topsoil. And what happens if you were to do that? Well, if you were to water it and put seeds into it, you'd probably get a nice bed and it would germinate, but it would only get so high. It wouldn't go down deep because there's a barrier. It's a solid barrier. You're not going to get seeds putting roots into sealed parts of your driveway. Or we might liken it to the little saplings in our gutters. You know, the little dirt that's there in the gutters. And we get these helicopters that spin around every spring and sometimes in the fall, and they land in the gutters. And water and sun gets at it and heat. It goes into the soil that's there in the gutter and it springs about this high. And then it starts to turn color and it dies. And it doesn't grow anymore. That's what Jesus is saying. Somewhat the rocky, stony soil. There's no direction but up. And to have good fruit, it has to go down before it goes up. And there are many Christians who need to, in professing Christianity, really think about this. Because there are many people who hear the Word of God, but there's no depth. There's nothing that goes deep enough. There's a hardness there. It could be a false gospel that's preached. And like these people, they're all joyful about the message that they've heard. But have they really heard the right message? Have they heard feel-good religion? Here's some quick help to deal with this problem. Or here's how to get beyond this particular obstacle in life for a time. They never go down with preaching that is deep enough, that doesn't deal with sin, that doesn't show a Savior that was crucified for sin, on whom only you must believe for forgiveness, and in whom only you have hope. It's a kind of false preaching. It doesn't tell you and require of you to live a holy life after receiving the good news. There are all kinds of people that hear messages that sort of driveway preaching. And it only goes so far. It never goes deep enough so that people will put roots so that they can grow unto eternal life. It could be imbalance affections that people feel. They come at this idea of preaching simply on emotional terms. They want to feel good. They want to be happy. They want to have joy. And so they won't go for these other themes. Either like these that say that they respond with joy immediately. There's instant celebration. But that's all there is. That's all there is. So Jesus is warning about imbalanced affections. If you're to have joy in Christ, real joy in Christ, there has to be a sense of sadness about your need for Christ. The sin that makes Christ to be so wonderful as a Savior. But such will not have it. They're imbalanced in their affections. They have wrong assumptions that they hold. They think that the Christian life is going to be all happiness, that it's going to be only joy and only victory. Such things as testing, such things as trouble, such things as hardships, such things as persecution, ridicule. And once they encounter those kinds of things, since it's always about joy to begin with for them, it's no longer about the truth of the gospel. They have wrong assumptions. And so, as the parable shows us, they have a temporary faith. It says they believe. It's not a saving faith. It's a temporary faith. It's a faith that goes only so far as the good times are rolling. That's as far as it goes. It's not saving faith. They believe for a while. As John tells us, they do not remain among us because they were not of us. And we see this commonly. Maybe you've met people that say, I tried Christianity once. I used to be a Christian. Well, they never were a Christian if they've left the gospel. And Jesus is telling us this. So be careful how you hear in terms of rocky soil. Have a heart that's deep. To have roots. There's thirdly the thorny patch. This we might call the worldly heart. Verse 7 and 14. In other words, this is the seed that, as no sower is perfect and nobody plants seeds with a sort of rifle effect and getting it right into the soil. No, the sower takes the seed and he throws it. And some is going to land here and some is going to land there and sometimes all over. And here these seeds go and they land in the thorny patch. Obviously, things can grow there because weeds and thorns are growing. But in time, this seed, it germinates, but it's overcrowded. And it ends up withering on the vine. What overcrowds the seed? That it chokes. Whither does it wither, we might say. Well, there are a few things that Jesus notes. One of them is worries. An inner dividedness. Being unsure. A sense of being tossed and unable to land in the right place. Always wondering, never really assured, doubting, double-mindedness. These sorts of things. A heart that doesn't trust the Lord. That doubts, that's so overcome with fears that it doesn't go forward saying, I will trust in the Lord. And I'm ignorant and I'm weak, but he is all-knowing and all-strong. There are things like riches. There's the attractiveness of this way of life and wanting to amass as much of it as we can and finding our security in these things. Keeping up with the Joneses wanting to have approval in the eyes of other people, and so we have what they have. We go after what's valuable to them. Those are riches. There are also pleasures. That's more self-centered. That's more wanting what the hedonistic heart wants. The lust for the moment. The pleasure that satisfies short term. That's much of our culture nowadays. If it's not worry, and sometimes it's often riches, but clearly it's hedonism. It's living for the moment. It's pleasures. These are the kinds of things that surround and choke and drain and make for any strength to be sapped. It's sad to see people that profess faith in Christ, yet not maturing, not growing, not being fruitful. And Jesus warns of this part in the parable of believers who remain immature, at least in their profession they say to believe, but they remain immature, they're fruitless because of worries. They have a worldly way about them, and though they may not know it, they are choking. They're being choked. But fourthly, there's this good soil. There's the beautiful heart. It's translated here as honest. It's about sincerity. It's about all things that are lovely and good in the Lord's sight. These are people that hear it with their ears. And because they go beneath driveway and shoulder of the road mentality, they have soil that's deep. And it's deep because soil often has to be tilled. It has to be turned over. And it's had conviction by the Holy Spirit. It's had God truly speaking into the heart, and so they're able to hold it. They have a sense of need for the Word of God. They have a desire to know the truth of Jesus Christ. They're willing for God to speak to them about their sin. And they desperately want grace, forgiveness, peace, the life of obedience and honor to God. And so when that seed goes in, it welcomes the seed. It holds the seed. And not only that, but it bears fruit, Luke says, 100-fold. A full, a rich amount of fruit. These are the people, as I pray each one of us gathered here would be, people who hear and hold and heed the Word of God. If you have ears to hear, friend, you're one of these. You're one of these. The question is, which is it? Which speaks to your conscience? Which is it? Into which category can these inner snapshots that your own conscience takes of yourself be filed? Where does your conscience put its pictures? You got four folders here. Into which one does yours go? Into which soil is the seed falling even now? Is it rocky soil? Is it stony soil? Thorny patch? Or is it good soil? Let me tell you, if you don't care to know, it's the first. If you're troubled that I asked, it's likely the second. If you're too focused on other things that it doesn't really matter, then it's the third. And if you're saying amen before I even finish, it's the fourth. How do you hear? Do you hear and do you heed? You may be convicted in some way. You may be troubled in some other way. But if you hold it anyways, you will bear fruit always. That's how we should be known, those who hear and hold and heed the Word of God. That's how Christ wants us to be as His disciples. And that's the point of verse 16 through 18. That's the whole point. It's not a separate parable. Jesus is going on. Just as light, no one lights a light and then covers it up. puts it under a bed, but puts it out to shine, so God will make it shine. Some it'll be evident before the day of judgment. For others, it's going to be evident there at the day of judgment. And God will bring it out and He'll expose it all. He'll either reward it or He'll condemn what it is. Therefore, you must take heed how you listen. Verse 18. It's not to justify yourself. It's to examine yourself. It's to know yourself in the presence of the all-searching Lord Jesus Christ. Listen with an honest heart, a holding heart, and a heeding heart. This is what Jesus has taught. Hear and heed. In the words of James, receive the word implanted. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not mere hearers only, because those delude themselves. Paul says that faith comes through hearing, and James, as he always agrees with Paul, though some say he doesn't, he agrees with Paul, and he goes further and says that blessing comes not through hearing alone, but through heeding as well. Well, this last point, how is the parable applied? One of these is that you and I would see that the heart of the issue is an issue of the heart. That's the heart of the matter. It's the matter of your own heart. The devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, verse 12. That's where the word must fall. It shouldn't miss the ears, but it shouldn't stay in the head. It should go down to the heart, just as seed does when it hits the soil. It goes down. Receive the word implanted, put down into the soil. Verse 15, those who have heard the word with an honest and good heart. Do you listen with the heart? A second point is that it's not so much do you hear, as do you hear and heed. What do you do with what you hear on Sunday mornings? Do you do anything with it? Do you talk about it as families? Do you pray about it in your closets? Do you ask about it? Do you encourage others with it? What do you do with the Word of God? It's not so much do you hear, but do you hear and do you do? Friend, I say that all these people heard the Word of God. You go look at each verse there from 12 to 15. Every one of them heard. But what does that make? The point is that they hear and that they heed. Just as it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. So it's not just that something goes into you that matters. It's what comes out that matters. It's hearing and it's heeding. Thirdly, if you're in any way unclear about your grasp of these things, you know what you can do? Ask. What do the disciples do here? They ask. They go to Jesus and they ask Him, what does this mean? How does this relate to me? How does this apply? Ask another. Ask me. Ask an elder. Most of all, ask Jesus. And you say to Him, Lord, is my heart in any way hard? Lord, till the soil of my heart. Please, if it's getting hard, Lord, water and root my heart in such a way so that when times of testing and temptation come, I can withstand it. And the word that you give me will stay in my heart. Lord, is the enemy near on any issue where a seed could be plucked up and taken from me? Lord, what worries and riches and pleasures of the world threaten the word that you have delivered to me? Lord, how shall the soil of my heart be better fertilized that I might bear fruit for you? These are the kinds of things that we should ask. As well as the parables significance in itself. Let's be asking Jesus, talking to him about what he teaches us. Fourthly, go in the blessed privilege and the promise of these words to you. It has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you, child, adult, to you, once a barren wasteland of unbelief, now the Lord's garden where he sows his seed. To you, often weak, often ignorant of the Bible, to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you who doubt things about the word of God, who wonder about the promises of God, yes, to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What grace that of all the people that Jesus could teach things of everlasting value and worth, he teaches us. Every day he shows to teach us wonderful things about everlasting life. But you have to know that as blessed and privileged as this is, you'll not learn more than you're willing to obey. You'll not learn more than you're willing to obey. Let there never be a time when you come to the hearing of the word that you don't come ready to heed the word. You should always come ready to act on what we hear. Fifthly, as much as there's the blessed privilege and promise, there is a real caution. Again, verse 18, take care how you listen. Don't listen holding some sin, dwelling on some trouble. Confess it, cast it at the Lord's feet. If you take care of these things, you will take care better how you listen. Listen with prayer. Pray for your minister. Pray for yourself. Pray for fruit. Pray as you're listening. Listen trusting in the Holy Spirit to make that word come home, not only in the hearing, but especially when it's time for heeding. Listen with a sense of it harmonizing with the whole system of faith that you confess as the gospel. Listen with a conviction that even what's being delivered to you from the pulpit is the very word of God to you. It's not just the reading that's the word of God. It's the preaching that's the word of God. It's not just me. It's God speaking. Sometimes it may feel as though it's coming through Balaam's donkey. I feel that sometimes. But surely it's the word of God. God is speaking to us. And so we must be those who then take care how we listen and hear the things of God. Take care with it. Jesus is concerned to remind us of these very sorts of things. Well, as I began, hearing is a very important part of life. Without it, we're prone to danger. Maybe that's why we have two ears, not just one. But again, with hearing comes heeding. That's the right consequence to it. Perhaps that's why we have two eyes, two arms, two hands, two legs, two feet, that we might be balanced in our heeding, even as we are in our hearing. So with these things, let us go hearing and heeding. For as Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and heed it. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we hear these things, make us to heed. Lord, do your work by your Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, that it might be tilled. And as this word has come today, that it might bear fruit 100-fold to the fullest measure that you would have for us. Make us to be, Lord, applying these things as we go from here. Give us your help and your encouragement by your Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.